morning on this first Sunday of July. We greet you in the name of Christ. Let us be called into worship. Our call to worship is from Psalm 45. Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. I will cause your name to be celebrated in all generations. Therefore, the peoples will praise you forever and ever. Let us worship God. Our opening hymn is God of the Ages, Whose Almighty Hand. We will sing three verses of that. Scripture lesson this morning, Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 through 19, and verses 25 through 30. Scripture lesson will be shared by Deacon Judith Miller.
Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
Matthew 11, chapter 16. Matthew 11, verse 16 through 19. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others. We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he is a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her actions. Continuing with verses 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Someone has said that cleaning with kids in the house is like brushing your teeth while eating Oreos. Isn't that the case? Another person has said that behind every good marriage is a great house cleaning service. Well, it seems house cleaning has become the go-to technique for relieving some of the stress that just about everybody feels overwhelmed with from time to time. Stress leads people to eat, overeat, drink, smoke, feel depressed, anxious, alone, and even commit suicide. Unrelieved stress is a serious condition, so we all need healthy techniques for dealing with it. I read recently that many people are finding temporary relief from their stress by watching videos on YouTube. They're watching videos of people cleaning their houses. You heard me right. There's a whole industry on the internet built around people who create videos on how to organize and clean your house. And these videos are hugely popular with millions of fans. Why do people like to watch videos of people cleaning up their houses? I don't understand it. Many fans of these videos say that watching someone else organize and clean their houses makes them feel less anxious and more in control of their own surroundings. Hosts for the popular cleaning shows regularly get emails telling them how their show helped a fan through anxiety, depression, and various life crises. One person said she falls asleep each evening while watching cleaning video houses, or cleaning houses videos. But that's what sends her to sleep each night, and it clears her head of anxiety and fear. So this is a phenomenon that creates a state of order of relaxation for many. Again, I don't understand it. Watching somebody else clean up their house creates more stress for me because it just reminds me of what I'm not doing that I need to be doing. But if they want to watch those videos, that seems very harmless. Even if somewhat strange, a strange way to deal with anxiety and stress. But even if you're watching those videos, it doesn't tackle the deeper problems in our life that causes us to feel out of control in the first place. That's our topic for today, dealing with stress. By the way, an organization in South Korea has discovered a novel way to help people deal with their stress. Their organization stages living funerals. Again, you heard me right. Participants in living funerals write out a short testament of their last thoughts and wishes. Then they put on a funeral shroud and lie down in a closed coffin for about 10 minutes. Now, I told you about my claustrophobia last week. This would not be for me. I may lay down in the casket, but don't you dare close it, or else you're going to have some drama. But the purpose of living funerals, which is a free service offered by the Taiwan Healing Center, the purpose of this is to help people gain a new perspective on life. It seems that about 25,000 South Koreans have undergone a living funeral so far. The director of the Healing Center says that some people have reconciled with family or friends after their living funeral. Others have changed careers. Some participants who were contemplating suicide credit their living funeral with changing their minds. The purpose of the living funeral, according to the director, is to realize that happiness is in the present. Happiness is in the present. Most of us would agree with that, but many of us do not live like that. All too often, many of us describe our lives as busy, as hectic, as out of control, as crazy. That seems to be the norm now. For some, this pandemic has created a lazy, laid back, slowing down. For others of us, it has created more work as simple tasks become complex. And many things require audible levels or multiple levels rather of networking and communication. The new norm is no one has any time anymore. The new norm says no one gets any rest. Finish this sentence. I'll sleep when I'm, you fill in the blank. Some people answer with the word dead. I'll sleep when I'm dead. But that might be a little too late. In our Bible passage, Jesus challenges the people around him with these words, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is saying to us that weariness is not meant to be our natural way of living. That's not what God created us for. Stress and weariness is not the norm that we should follow. In fact, no matter how productive our out-of-control schedule makes us feel, we can still be out of sync with those rhythms of life that contribute to our peace, our clarity, and our living with a purpose. Let's look at this passage two ways. The first way, if we hear Jesus speaking to us as disciples, we realize that the demands and the gifts of the discipleship can be worried. You see, trying to respond to the demands of day-to-day living while at the same time being open to God's control is a difficult task. Why? Doing and being has a tricky balance. All the more so when a pandemic has us shutting down and staying in, and the call for racial justice urges us to get up, get out, and march. There's an imbalance. How can we be childlike in faith without being childish in our actions? There's another place where there needs to be balance. Discipleship is hard work. Perhaps Jesus knew how we would struggle with these things. Perhaps that's why this passage includes a generous invitation. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. The beautiful and promising verse weaves together three short but significant words. Come, all, rest. Come, all, rest. Come. The first word in that trio, come. It's the never-ending invitation of God. God who is always reaching out, always welcoming us with open arms. Come. It's the word spoken by God throughout Scripture, even to the Bible's final paragraph. In Revelation, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. We hear it in other places. Take the water of life as a gift. That verse ends, but we hear it in other places. It says, come, let everyone come. Whoever we are, wherever we are, however we are, come. Come, even as we seek to understand the signs of the time. Come, even as we yearn to live responsibly in this moment. Come, even as we try to pay attention to that, to what these days hold for us. Come, even as we admit our limitations. Come, even though our sins are many, come, even as we attempt to open our hearts. The welcome of Jesus is always extended. Come. The second word, all. Not just some, not just a few, not just the qualified or the capable or the knowledgeable, but all. Those who do not do the good they want to do, as Paul describes himself. Those with scars, those with baggage, those with questions, those with doubts, those with fears. Everyone is invited. Everyone is welcome. All come to me, all of you. Jesus says, looking at us with love, come to me, all. It is the small word that speaks to the bigness of the gospel and the gospel's ability to hold all of who we are. Come, all. And the third word is rest. The final word in this sequence, rest. It's what Jesus offers in the end. Rest from the storms. Rest from the stress. Rest from hazards and the hardships and the nerve-wracking circumstances that we encounter each and every day. Here's someone who seeks our good, who comforts our weariness, and who bears our burdens, who gives us shelter and safety. Jesus doesn't offer us an exemption from pain and sorrow, but he does offer us himself. He offers us a presence even as we live, love, laugh, and weep, even as we ache and die. Rest. Rest, knowing that God has overcome all things that would hurt or destroy. Rest. Knowing we are loved. Rest, knowing, believing, trusting that in life and in death we belong to God. Be restored, be renewed. Rest, for God is our anchor. So come, all, rest. But we can look at this passage in a different way. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's look at this passage in that second way. Weariness and burden blinds us to the true purpose of our lives and leaves us with a sense of powerlessness. Worry and stress isolate us. When you are weary and burdened, your focus narrows to what is right in front of you, to what is urgent, instead of what is important. This behavior is the norm in our culture. So we don't question it. That's just the way life is. Except that Jesus says it isn't the way things are meant to be. So what did Jesus mean by rest for our souls? I read recently about another group devoted to giving rest. However, this one is a business. In 2005, a store called Minneapolis, opened in Minnesota's Mall of America. And notice that name, Minneapolis. For 70 cents a minute, tired shoppers can rent a soundproof room for napping. The room has special things like deep space, Asian mist, and tropical island. Or if you don't like, you don't feel like napping, you can sit in the store's massage chair gaze at a waterfall, listen to soft music, and breathe in the positive ionization filtered air. The owners of the store advertise it as an enjoyable escape from the fast-paced lifestyle. Some people probably find that very helpful. However, rest for our souls is not the same thing as a nap or a vacation or breathing in positive ionization filtered air while gazing at a fake waterfall. Rest for our souls is not a temporary respite from our stress. Rest for our souls is a reorientation of our values and our perceptions of life to match up with the values and perceptions of God, the one who created us, the source of our soul. Listen to his words again. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Think about those important words just for a moment. Jesus is saying, you have a soul. Or to be more accurate, you are a soul. Have you stopped to think about what that means lately? You are not a random collection of cells. You are not the sum of your current circumstances. You are a work of art made in the image of God. You have the imprint of the eternal, all-powerful God Almighty within you. Your soul is a mark of God's abundant love for you. It marks you as an incredibly valuable item in God's eyes. And that leads us to a question. And that question is, are you experiencing life the way God meant you to experience it? Or do you feel weary and burdened? And because you are living in a way that is disconnected from your soul. Mike Jaffe was a young, successful businessman working for a Fortune 500 company. In his mid-30s, he began to realize that he wasn't fulfilled in his work. He had neglected his family. He felt disconnected from even greater purposes in his life. Every morning, Mike's wife would drive him to the train station for his two-hour commute to New York. Their one-year-old daughter slept in the back seat on the way to the station. Mike worried that he rarely saw his daughter when she was awake. And his wife was practically a single parent. Well, his success at work wasn't making a meaningful difference in his world. His life was so hectic, so he barely had time to think. But all of Mike's colleagues and friends lived that way too. Who was he to think that life should be different for him? Then it happened. One morning, Mike decided that he would stay home and have breakfast with his wife and daughter and take the late train to work. To him, this was a huge sacrifice. All his colleagues came in early and stayed late. He couldn't afford to stand out. But this one moment, he was just so tired of being controlled by his job and missing out on his family. This one morning, Mike and his wife and daughter had a great time eating breakfast together and chatting about their week. Mike took the late train to the office. Because of this one decision to reconnect with his family, Mike Jaffe was not in his office. His office was in the North Tower of the World Trade Center on September 11, 2001, when the first airplane slammed into the building. Mike was not in his office. His life was spared by a simple decision one morning to spend some time with his family. Mike Jaffe has written a book about the tragedy of losing his friends and colleagues in the September 11 attacks. It's titled, Wake Up, Your Life is Calling. He says his mission now is to be a human wake-up call, to convince people to live meaningfully and to live meaningful lives that don't revolve around society's definition of success. Jesus is the ultimate wake-up call for our souls. Listen to some other statements he made about your soul. What good will it be for one to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? That's in Matthew 16. Hear him when he says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Jesus also says words, different statements that show us that he cares about our souls because he knows that our souls are a reflection of God's image within us. So I'll ask the question again. Are you weary and burdened because you are living in a way that is disconnected from your soul? And that's the primary thing Jesus is saying in this passage. We have a soul. We are a soul. And here's the next thing we need to know and to see. We have a Savior. We have a bridge between our soul and God. Jesus didn't say, come to me and all your troubles will go away. Nope, he didn't say that. He said, come to me and I'll share your life. You won't be alone anymore. That's what he meant when he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Jesus lived every moment knowing that there are certain things worth living and dying for. And everything else is just noise. We have a Savior who understands what we're facing. Jesus knows what it's like to be tired. He knows what it's like to be lonely and misunderstood. He knows what it's like to pour your heart and soul into a mission and not see any results. You have a Savior who chose to live as we live, as a human being, so he could show us that our identity, our purpose, our strength, and our hope aren't based upon our circumstances. They are based on the reality of a loving God within us. Let me tell you about a young boy named Caleb who was diagnosed with a nervous system disease and that left him for a time with temporary paralysis. You can imagine how Caleb's parents longed to see their little boy walking like other children. Well, one day Caleb's father decided to visit him at school. It was at recess. All the children were out playing and running and what have you, except for Caleb. Caleb was by himself. Caleb's father was heartbroken to see the other children playing all around him and his son not being able to participate. But then he saw Caleb's best friend, Tyler, come up to Caleb. Tyler could have been out running with all the rest of the kids, but he decided to hang with Caleb. They didn't do anything. Caleb was moving slowly and Tyler was moving slowly with him, but he just stayed with him throughout the recess period. Tyler didn't take away Caleb's burdens. He simply walked with him and loved him in his weakness. Jesus does the same thing for us. And having that love and power freely available to us makes any burden easier to bear. Take my yoke upon you. He doesn't take away the burden, but he's with us as we experience it. We have a soul and we have a Savior. And finally, Jesus is saying to us in this passage, we have a solution to our weariness and burdens. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The 1970s movie Freaky Friday, a frustrated mother and her rebellious daughter suddenly exchange places. They exchange lives. The mother wakes up in the daughter's bed, body, and vice versa. And each one has to live a few days with the priorities, the responsibilities, and the stresses of the other. And so mother and daughter learn to respect and empathize with each other because they walked in each other's shoes. If Jesus were to live a day in your life, would he have the same priorities that you have? Would he view your circumstances as you do? Would he get stressed over the things that stress you out? Why not? Because Jesus looks beyond the circumstances of our lives to the greater story that is a loving God working through us. Let me tell you about a woman named Rose who had experienced an unbelievable stress in her life. Stress that should put our anxieties into perspective. Rose is a woman in Rwanda who lost most of her family in the Rwandan genocide of 1994. This was a hard conflict in which Hutu citizens of Rwanda murdered more than 800,000 Tutsi citizens in around 100 days. Rose and her two daughters survived the attacks. How does Rose deal with the shock and grief of witnessing such carnage in which she lost members of her family? She explains it this way. She says, "For this I have Jesus." Think about those words for a moment. "For this I have Jesus." You see, Rose has adopted two children who were abandoned, who were orphaned in the attacks. She supports her small family of five by translating Christian tracts into the local language and organizing an annual conference for widows. What inspires her? As she says, "For this I have Jesus." Her heart breaks for what she has lost, but she's determined to move forward for the sake of her children. How does she face the future with courage? One more time, she says, "For this I have Jesus." What other source of peace or rest can any of us count on besides Jesus, our Savior? This life can take so much away from us, but there's a part of us that cannot be taken away. It cannot be taken away. It's not affected by outward circumstances or inward doubts. It's that stamp on you that says you were made in the image of God. That's your soul. And God loves you so much that he comes to you in the form of Jesus to share your life and to die for you. That's your Savior. Come to him and submit your life to his guidance and his priorities, and you will find rest for your soul. That's your solution. You decide. Will you focus on those three words? Come, all, rest, knowing, believing, trusting that in life and in death we belong to God. Will you keep on living in a way that is disconnected from your soul? Or will you live from the perspective and priorities of a soul that is created in the image of God? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For this, we have Jesus. Let the people of God say, amen. and turn now to our time of joys and concerns. We ask that our elders from United and Presbyterian Church of Teaneck will share their concerns at this point. We start with Elder Cheryl Morgan Duncan of United Presbyterian Church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to lift up Amber Hughes this morning. Amber Hughes and her unborn child. Amber Hughes is a daughter of Deacon Michelle Hughes from United Presbyterian Church. Also like to have keeping our prayers today, the city of Patterson and its homeless people. Also, Erica Gordon. Erica Gordon will be returning to work sometime next week. Pray for Erica and the Gordon family as well. The family still of Pastor Jones, the Chenoweth, and the artist family. And also, I'd like to add to your your list of healthcare workers, Elder Sean, Regina Jones, Devine Burke, and also myself, who will be returning to healthcare next in a couple of days, really.
Okay.
So, yes, please keep us in your prayers and everyone else I mentioned.
Thank you. And so we would add the names of Jones, Burke, Sister Burke, and Sister Cheryl Morgan Duncan to our list of healthcare workers. All right, Fiona Harrison Butts.
Good morning. No joys and concerns to share this morning.
Okay, thank you. Elder England?
Yes, we don't have any joys and concerns.
You're fading out. I see your mouth moving, but nothing's coming out.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, Ms. Lurleen Gillespie and Mr. Ron Smith ask for prayers for safe travels for Dr. and Lucia Pankey, her sister and brother-in-law who'll be flying to the East Coast on Monday in the midst of the pandemic. Also, Deacon Ruth White shares that her goddaughter, Colleen Campbell, passed her medical exams on Thursdays and will start practicing as a doctor on Monday in Jamaica. That's all I have.
Yes, and so we prayed for Sister Campbell as she starts the next chapter in her life during this pandemic. We also add traveling mercies for the relatives of Lurleen Gillespie and Ron Smith. Mr. Chang Soon.
Yes, good morning to my church family.
Good morning.
And at this point in time, I have no joys and concerns, but I do hope and I prayed that all of us who had celebrated our independence yesterday did so in a safe manner. Amen.
Amen. Elder Fredericks was not with us this morning, did share her concerns. We continue to lift up Dr. Arthur Chain as he recovers from surgery that he had on Thursday. He came through surgery well. We continue to lift him up. And we will add, as you go through, we'll share our list of healthcare workers who we lift up in prayer this morning. But we continue to pray for Dr. Arthur Chain. Mr. Edgar Elder Miller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Brother Blaine Shaw has a cousin in Baltimore, Owen Jones, who has an illness, but it's not COVID related. And so he's resting. Sister Mary Coleman's nephew, Daniel Cunningham, who I mentioned a few weeks ago, had an issue with his foot, and he was hospitalized because of that. He's doing a lot better now. And my son Matthew's friend Ellis had graduated from eighth grade. We were talking about graduations earlier. And his family couldn't really celebrate that, so they got creative. So yesterday, we did a nice social distancing backyard outdoor graduation for Ellis Satchel.
Okay.
and he graduated from eighth grade.
All right, then. Great. Thank you so much. Elder Elizabeth Adapo. Okay. And we would lift up at this time our prayers for those healthcare workers that we know of. If I leave out any, then please add their names. As Sister Duncan mentioned, you know, she will be returning to work, tomorrow? And she also mentioned Sister Jones and Bert. We have on our list of healthcare workers, Beryl Jolly Duncan, Rita Atondo, Cassandra Walters, Priscilla Adu, Charles Adapo, Elizabeth Adapo, Pastor Victor Brown of Brothers and Sisters Church, Janice Fields, Warren Fields, and are there other healthcare workers that we wish to name right now as we lift them up in prayer? Let us then join together in a time of prayer. God of creation, you have brought forth a world as a mother delivers a child. You have nursed us with the milk of kindness, holding us close and away from harm's door. You have nurtured us with your wisdom while cleansing us in the font of living waters. You have chastised us and cajoled us when our obedience has waned. Your judgment has not been wanting when we have stayed from your ways. You have caused Christ to come forth, conceived by your Holy Spirit, a reconciling love. Christ grew up with stature in accordance with your will, submissive to your commandments. He was vulnerable to the needs of others. He stooped to lift the weak out of their depths of despair. His authority you gave to him. His destiny you designed. His death you determined on behalf of us all. We live with hope and because of your care. We inherit the promise of new life because of your compassion, O God. With such a witness in your sustaining indulgence before us, help us to show sympathy to all. Send us forth to labor in the name of Christ. Equip us with tongues to proclaim to them your word. Give us keen minds to detect the causes of injustice and oppression. Make us resourceful in devising means to expose and eliminate persecution. Help us, O Lord, to stand in rapport with the downtrodden as we accompany them through the gates of your redeemed society. We pray for the sick and those shut in beyond this pandemic, but shut in for whatever reason. Give cheer to our voices as we greet them in the name of Christ Jesus. May our arms embrace them with your encompassing care. Open our hearts to their plight, as with our hand we seek to lift them to a sense of dignity. And even as we pray for the sick and shut in, Lord, we pray for those who care for the sick and the shut in, those who are working in hospitals, those who care for those who are even dying. We add to our list of healthcare workers the name of Nana and Ezene Obaniah. Lord, we include all of those doctors and nurses and first line workers who have dealt with so much these past few weeks. Hear our prayer for them, O Lord. And we thank you for the kindness by which you hear this our prayer. We thank you, O Lord, for granting your love, for granting your mercy, for providing traveling mercy, for being with those who have been named and those who are not named. Hear our prayer, O Lord, and grant us your peace. Amen. Let us share our hymn of preparation, and as we share this, we hope that you have your elements for the celebration of Holy Communion. Our hymn of preparation, Spirit of God, descend upon my heart.
Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Lift from earth all its forces through. Soon to my weakness, mighty as thou art, and make me as I want to run. Hast thou not bid us love thee, God and King? All thy wrongs, so hard and strange. See thy cross there, teach my heart to believe. Oh, let me seek thee, and oh, let me find.
We invite you to share in the celebration of Holy Communion. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give God our thanks and praise. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord. To give you our everlasting joy, for Lord, you have created us. You have blessed us. You have sustained us. You have walked with us. You have seen our failures. And Lord, you have provided us a Savior. When that Savior left, he did not leave us abandoned, but rather allowed us to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, O Lord, we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels and with all the faithful of every time and place, whoever sing to the glory of your name, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We give you thanks that the Lord Jesus, on the night before he died, took bread, and when he had given thanks for it, he broke it, saying, this is my body broken for you. Take and eat of it, for as often as you do, you show my death and suffering until I shall come again. In like manner, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. So, Lord, we come thanking you for the broken body and the shed blood that that reminds us of our redemption. Lord, hear us as we pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Hear us, Lord, as we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This is the bread which is broken for you. Take it and eat of it. And this is the cup which is poured out for you. Take and drink of it. And let us, as the people of God, pray. Almighty God, you provide the true bread from heaven, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grant that we who have received the sacrament of his body and blood may abide in him and he in us, that we may be filled with the power of his endless life, now and forever. Amen. For our closing hymn, the scripture lesson this morning reminded me of an old hymn. Not saying that I'm old, but I heard about this song that was written decades ago by a man named Charles A. Tinley. It's been sung in several different versions, but we're just going to sing a couple of verses of Leave It There. You hear the words of Jesus that said, take my yoke upon me, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for my burden is light. That was another way of saying what Tinley is saying here. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.
Silver and its gold, and you have to get along with being a bear. Just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
Leave it there.
Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and he can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
peace, make you holy in every way, and keep your whole being, spirit, soul, and body, free from every fault at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We share our postlude this morning. The orchestration for it was done by Mr. William Mobley, the husband of our director, America the Beautiful. And to accompany that orchestration by Mr. Mobley, we'll share two poems. One, I Too, by Langston Hughes, and the other was written by Mr. Mobley, and simply titled America. I too sing America. I am the darker brother. They send me to eat in the kitchen when company comes, but I laugh and eat well and grow strong. Tomorrow, I'll be at the table. When company comes, nobody dares say to me, eat in the kitchen then. Besides, they'll see how beautiful I am and be ashamed. I too am America. And then the words of Mr. Mobley. So many things. Such troubling things, they're all up in the air. Our brotherhoods in crowds to stop old lies and lay them bare. America, you give us hope. Yet we can't forget our past. Yes, forget our hate, repent our sins, so we can now begin. Go in peace. May God grant you the beauty of his spirit. Amen.
Amen.
We invite you to unmute yourselves if you wish to share a word of greeting with those, with other folks who are on the line.
You can't even hear them.
I would like to say happy birthday to Edna Anderson, who had a birthday
yesterday.
Or the third. Edna, you won.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Miss Edna.
Thank you. I feel very special. Thanks to all of you.
There's Miss Elizabeth. Oh, we're.
Hi.
Chinenye's birthday yesterday. Chinenye celebrated her birthday yesterday.
Oh, that's Sister Nene.
Chinenye. Chinenye.
Chinenye. Chinenye wa. Okay.
Yeah. Celebrated her.
So I thought it was mom on the phone. It's Chinenye. That's Chinenye's phone, but that's mom on the phone.
Yeah, it's mama talking for you.
Yeah, I recognize the voice. Really. So all of
you,
yesterday was a bad day.
All of you who are going back into work and, you know, still we got, you know, being threatened by this pandemic, we keep you in our prayers.
Please add Matthew Adapo and Janet Ashley Adapo to the healthcare worker list.
Oh, they were also in the healthcare. Okay, we got a family thing going.
Yeah, they're in holy name.
Oh, okay.
That's great.
Okay, yes, Janet and Matthew.
Add that too, Nana.
Yeah, and what is Ezine doing in?
She's a nurse, registered nurse.
Okay. All right.
Oh, now it's playing again.
I hit it accidentally. Okay, we will be closing down in a hot second, and so again, greetings to each of you, and peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
And also with you.
And also mom, okay. Yeah, I put it right up there, and it may have broadcast.
Be with you all.
Yeah, mine.
But
be with you.